All right. Here at this church, just before Christmas, we had a special guest come and play his violin for us, and his name's Jamie George. Well, on my Facebook the other day, I saw that he was going to be close by again, so I took my mom and we went up to Henderson to go listen to him play another concert, this time different since it wasn't Christmas time. And he told a story about his childhood that I had never heard before. Well, Jamie was born in a country called Cuba. And in Cuba, you can't just do what you want. You can't just go to church if you want. They give you a little bit of freedom, but there's different things the government makes you do or makes you not do. And so Jamie, when he was a boy, that's where he was growing up. Well, Jamie, when he was 5 years old, started to learn to play the violin. And he had a natural talent from him for playing the violin. And so in those kind of countries called communist countries, if a child shows a special talent towards something, then the government wants to take and just make them do that. And so he was offered to be able to go to Russia, to the city of Moscow, to train with the best violin teachers. But there was one thing he would have to do. He would have to say that he didn't believe in God anymore. But he had been raised in a Christian home, so he couldn't do that. And so his dad just started to think, we really need to leave Cuba. But it's very hard to leave because the government has to give you permission. So his dad prayed, and his dad decided to send a letter to the leader at that time. His name was Fidel Castro. Now, they don't think Fidel Castro ever saw that letter, but someone in the government saw that letter and somebody came to their house, and they got permission to leave Cuba. So they started contacting all different countries where they had friends to see if they could find someone who could sponsor them so they could leave Cuba. Well, there was a Christian here in the United States who was able to get everything together because it cost a lot of money and help them to be able to leave Cuba. So he was 10 years old, and they moved from Cuba to the United States, first to Miami. Have you girls ever been to Florida? Has anybody here been to Florida? Is it warm or cold in Florida? Warm. It's warm. Well, 3 months later, somehow they ended up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the wintertime. One of the worst winters that Milwaukee, Wisconsin had ever seen. And they got like 60-something inches of snow in Milwaukee, 69 inches or something of snow in Milwaukee. So how do you think, and Cuba is out in the Caribbean Sea, and it was a warm place too. So how do you think that would feel to go from a place that was warm to a place that had snow that was way above your head? Think that would be different? That'd be very different. And also, when they left Cuba, all they could take was what they could pack in a suitcase. So they're in a new town, a new climate, and they didn't have anything. But they were so happy to be in a country where they could worship God how they wanted to. They could keep the Sabbath, and they could just talk about God to whoever they wanted to, and they wouldn't get in trouble with the government. Well, the neighbors nearby started to hear that there was this new family who had moved from, they didn't speak English, all they spoke was Spanish. But people started to hear that this new family had come from communist Cuba, and so they started to bring them things. They brought them food, they brought them blankets, they brought them coats, all the things you would need that you didn't need in Cuba. And someone brought them a record player. Do you girls know what a record player is? It's old technology. You know what a CD is? CDs are getting to be old technology. But this was like a big CD, and there was a big thing in you. There was a little hole in the middle, and there was a little spindle, there we go, sticking up. And so you would put your record on, and it would spin around, and you put this thing that had a needle on it, and you could hear music. So it was the way, and so the person gave them a record player with 7 records. Well, in the meantime, even though Jamie George had a natural talent for playing the violin, he didn't like to practice. So he said he had the best 3 weeks of his life because they couldn't afford a violin teacher, and he didn't practice. But his mom said one day, said, Jamie, God gave you this talent. You need to develop it. He said, I don't have a teacher. Well, his mom said, you know that gift we were given of the record player? there's a record player, a record of a violin player. I'm going to grab some water. My throat started to go dry. Well, that record had something called, it was a Beethoven concerto. So what his mom wanted him to do was listen to that record so that he could learn how to play like that. And so that's what he did. So he learned that Beethoven concerto. Well, in the meantime, his mom kept praying and looking for a way to him for him to have a violin teacher. Well, in Milwaukee, there was something called a music conservatory, and she called there, and they said, you know what? We're at the point where we're going to be giving out scholarships to be able to study here. And so his sister played piano and he played violin, so they made appointments to go and see the teachers so the teachers could see if they had the talent they wanted to develop at this conservatory and get a scholarship. So they went, and his sister went to her place, and Jamie went to this big auditorium. He had a picture of it, and he was alone on the stage, and there were the two violin teachers there watching him. And so the only thing he had to play was that violin concerto that he'd been listening to on the record. And when he was done, the teacher looked at him kind of sternly and said, "Why in the world would a 10-year-old boy pick that?" And he started to get scared because, oh no, I messed it up. And, you know, he told them the story of how they had come from Cuba and how that was the only music that they had in the house and that's what he'd been listening to. And then the man told him, who was the person on that record? And he said the name, I forgot what it was, but at that time, it was like the best violinist in the world. And he said, "I knew it. I could tell by the way that you played that song." And there's little things called phrasings. There's different ways a song can sound the same, but the person that's playing it can play some things in their own way. And so that teacher knew that. He said, "You know what? That man was my violin teacher. So I could tell that you were playing, that you heard that on the record." And he said, "You know what? We want you to be here, and we want to teach you." So God worked out a way for Jamie George to be able to study the violin with some of the best violin teachers in the country. And in fact, that one teacher, he had been studying over in Europe, and he'd been teaching over in Europe, but he decided to take a job in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, of all places, so God worked it out so he could be Jamie George's violin teacher. And Jamie, he has decided years ago that he was going to use that talent. It's like 30 years now that he's been going around and using his talent of playing music so that he can tell people about Jesus. And he was even able to go back to Cuba and play, the first Christian to be able to play in this big, huge auditorium. And every time he plays the music, but he also tells the people about Jesus. And so we may not be given a big platform by Jamie George, but can we tell other people about Jesus? Yes, that's the most important thing. And then, you know, that is the most important thing to Jamie George, even though he can play the violin well and he gets to travel all over the world, but it's so he can tell people about Jesus.